Good afternoon as well. So I am going to be presenting from the last of the four field sites, and this time presenting information from Birmingham, Alabama. In addition to myself, I want to acknowledge Tiffany Cox, who's in the room today as a co-investigator, Reverend Ronnie Williams, as well as Dr. Jamie Ard. This is a collaboration between the investigators at the University of Alabama at Birmingham and our community partner, which is Congregations for Public Health. And I also do not have any relationships to disclose. So most of you are fairly aware that there is a significant issue around childhood obesity in public health in particular. And so one of the things that we really wanted to focus on is how can we get a better understanding of what might be influencing excessive calorie intake in an effort to eventually work on more effective interventions. We know that social and environmental inequities in food environments may be one of those contributors, and certainly there's been a documented research in terms of differences by perhaps a racial or ethnic group in neighborhoods in terms of what may be available in the built environment. We also know that there are some issues in terms of marketing practices that may differentially target certain individuals, particularly African Americans. And so this leads us to the intent or purpose of this study, which was to look at target marketing of high caloric foods to African Americans in terms of how the caregivers may be perceiving what is out there. So there's some literature that suggests what we know from the research, but as was mentioned earlier, we wanted to get the consumer's unique perspectives. So researchers within the ACORN network were charged with participating or partnering with community partnership, find some answers to the questions of basically what do consumers think are influencing the high caloric intake among young children. At UAB, we focused on African-American children ages 3 to 11 years old that resided within predominantly African-American communities within Birmingham. Our community-based partner, Congregations for Public Health, is a 501(c). It's made up of 6 predominantly African-American churches in Metro Birmingham. And within each one of these churches, they have what they call neighborhood outreach specialists. So these are community health advisors that are responsible for basically the environment around 1 mile radius around each church. We use structured interviews, as was mentioned before. We had a 1 week photo project, a photo elicitation interview, and community forums. We did base our work on a community-based participatory research model in which our community partner collected all the data. They helped us to analyze the data, and they are also contributing to our dissemination efforts. The community, as I mentioned before, we focus in these 6 areas within the Birmingham area. They're fairly, again, predominantly African-American. There's some variability in terms of the neighborhood poverty per household, but in general, the median family neighborhood family income range between roughly around $20,000 up to about $36,000 in each of these communities. Our mean caregiver age is similar to what was reported by the other sites, 43 years. About 70% or 71% of the caregivers in our study were either the parent or legal guardian. We had about 21 or so percent that then were the grandparent of these individuals. 50% were single. We had 93% that were female, a little bit higher than the other sites. These are some demographics in terms of household income from the caregivers, and we had a fairly diverse group of individuals in terms of education. So our primary results are listed here. Similar to the methodology that was described before, we did content analysis of the interviews, which were transcribed verbatim, and these are some of the major themes that we found. One of the issues had to do with kids' preference for certain foods. So a quote from one of the caregivers was, kids just prefer these foods, and they were referring to things like corn dogs, sugar cereals, and fries, to other healthier ones. They come, or they eat this way at home and at school. Another caregiver commented, I just can't get him to eat anything else. Another theme was the convenience of fast food restaurants. quick and convenient place to purchase foods for the entire family, even on a budget. There is no time to cook full meals. I need foods ready to eat, which may have more calories. And so the picture here, you can see, if you're familiar with this particular restaurant, particularly in the South, that you can get a huge meal of several pieces of chicken, probably 15, plus two or three sides, plus biscuits, all for about $10, or about $15. Another theme was limited foods available in the neighborhood, an abundance of certain types of stores, like convenience or corner stores, or even candy stores. So these were usually people who may have lived in the neighborhood nearby a school who would have basically sell different kinds of candies and snacks in their neighborhood. They also talked about these particular stores offering less healthy items, but they're close by. Larger stores and wholesale stores are located further away from where they live. And then they talked about, in addition to limited availability in the neighborhood in general, they talked about limited availability within the home. So one caregiver remarked, if only snacks and junk foods are at home, that is the only thing that the child will eat. Another, who this time was a grandparent, was saying that his mother doesn't shop as often as I would, and she was insinuating that at her home, at least, there was a great deal of more variety of healthier foods that were available than when the child was at his or her own house. Another theme had to do with advertisements. This was in particular to in-store ads. So these are ads that when you go into the store, like in this picture, where they have the $1 Whopper Junior or the Angry Whopper, and so things that are right there in the store. So advertisements for low-cost combos, bundle foods, like two for something, encourage purchase of larger amounts of foods, and people seemed to be fairly cognizant that that was leading them to purchase those items. I think as mentioned by Angela earlier, celebrity and character influence. So kids talked about, or caregivers talked about, their children being significantly influenced when they saw celebrities or characters in ads, making them really want to buy this. So this is a picture of a frozen dinner with a cute little colorful duck on it. And so one parent remarked that this really got the child excited when they passed by the freezer section, and so they insisted on having it. Another quote is, you see these rappers doing these commercials for Burger King, and these kids associate that product with them, meaning the rappers. So maybe that means if you eat a Whopper like this rapper over here does, that makes you cool like this rapper. Enticing foods, again, another similar thing that was theme that came out of some of the other sites. Ads make you hungry and want you to go to the store or buy restaurants to buy the product. So this is a study participant who took a picture of their commercial that was coming on in Hormel, Chili, that had all these things going on in Game Time, and they really talked about, you know, I could almost smell the chili in there, and so I really wanted to go get some. And then we also asked them, besides those kinds of things, what else do you think might be influencing children's overconsumption of calories? So these were a couple of other things. The caregivers were saying that costs drive what families eat more than advertisements. So they said, yeah, we are influenced by our ads, but it's at the end of the day, it's what things cost that really makes a difference in terms of what I purchase and what I have available for kids. They also talked about schools encouraging children to eat or avoid certain foods. And then they also said children have little influence on what parents buy or cook, despite the fact that earlier on, many of them still said that, yes, when I'm in the store, they will pester me to get so on and so forth. But when asked directly about the child's influence, many of the parents and caregivers were reluctant to say that kids really did make a difference. They also mentioned that advertisers, we asked a question about their awareness of advertisers in their communities and so forth. So while they were willing to say that advertisers were in their community, they did think they were targeting their community and people that look like them or people of color. They didn't perceive that advertisement to be anything that particularly hurt the black community. And then lastly, they indicated that families really would support those companies that they saw sponsoring events in the community, so sponsoring Little League events or band booster events and things like that. So they felt a sense of loyalty to purchase those items or to go to those particular restaurants because those companies then invested in their community. So the other thing that we did at the UAB site, we did the initial individual level data collection, but then we wanted to go back to the community again to present our findings. And we did so in a series of about two community forums back in the churches that I mentioned before that were part of our community partner. And these were some of the themes that came up. We specifically asked them, can you think of things or strategies that you could do to sort of help address some of the limitations that you see or some of the influences that you see in terms of excess calorie consumption? And when the theme around the junk food at home came around, some of the strategies that came up, or one particular one, focused around nutrition education. The fact that we needed to educate not only children around healthier eating, but also parents, and do more around parenting skills to train and help parents know what to serve and how to encourage kids to eat healthier foods. In terms of fast food restaurants, the participants talked about limiting the number of restaurants that may come into these communities and forcing stores to serve healthier items. And then there was a theme around wholesale stores. So if you remember the theme about these certain types of stores were in our neighborhoods, but others like the larger store supermarkets weren't, these community members talked about demanding locations in lower income areas and or better public transportation so that members of the community could go outside to where those other stores were located. And so just in conclusion, caregivers perceive their home and neighborhood environments as contributing to the overconsumption of calories among young African-American children. In particular, they mentioned limited availability of healthier foods, lack of access to supermarkets, an abundance of fast food restaurants, and marketing of unhealthy food products. On the other hand, caregivers did not perceive advertisers as particularly harming their community. Further, the families supported companies who invested in their community, and they felt a sense of loyalty to those companies and those products. Community members had concrete ideas about changing the food environment, contributing to excess calorie intake as well. And certainly I would also like to acknowledge the founder of Congregations for Public Health, Reverend Solomon, as well as each of the neighborhood outreach specialists that did our data collection, our research participants and graduate research assistants, and again, the funder of our study. Thank you.